Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to Within the Light podcast, where we enter deep portals of the mind through conscious conversations and authenticity. I'm your host, Ash. On today's episode, we discuss a bit of history in hair and how I got to where I am now, how things have shifted in our industry as spirituality has expanded, some tips and tricks for other stylists and people in general on how to protect yourself in the work environment, and what you can expect from me personally. So with that, let's get into it, shall we? I've never actually just told my story, you know, basically just gotten into it such as that. So let's just start from, say, high school-ish when you're deciding what you're going to do with your life. That's when I was deciding that I really liked to work with people. I was very interested in people. I wanted to know their stories. I wanted to know what they were about. And I wanted to just connect with all different types of people, even within my own school. And I love just meeting new people in general and love traveling. At the time, I didn't travel much, but the times I got to, I was really enjoying expanding my mind on others' stories. And so I just was kind of like, oh, psychology sounds great. And even in my yearbook, it says psychoanalyze people. And it's basically, funny enough, kind of what I do now, because I do work one-on-one with people and I feel like a psychologist or psychiatrist, whatever you want to say. I prescribe different things besides prescriptions. But at any rate, let's just kind of take it back to shortly after there, I decided that I was going to enroll in a community college because I didn't know for sure that I wanted to do hair yet. I was like, oh, I'm going to go into psychology. And my hairstylist at the time was actually like, oh, why don't you go to hair school? She's like, it's kind of the same thing. And you get to be creative. I know you like to be creative. And I was like, oh, you know, I've never really thought about that. I've never really been the type to do people's hair. Yeah, I guess I dabbled with my Barbie's hair, as they say, but I never really was like, yeah, I want to do hair for a living. It was never really something I'd thought about until she gave me that perspective, or basically a big question that changed my entire path. And so the next day I looked into local schools in northern Minnesota, and I wasn't really connecting to the curriculum. And she had gone to Aveda, which was about 3 hours from where I had grown up, and about 180 miles, whatever. And so I was like, oh, that's where my dad lives. I'll move down there. I can go to school there. Well, I didn't get in for about a year after that. So at the time, it was still owned by and run by the founder of the company named Horst, and he has since passed. But it was one of those things where getting into the school when it was in that kind of vibration was a whole different story. It wasn't the way that it is now. Now it kind of feels, you know, Estee Lauder owns the company, so that kind of explains it's just a little bit more saturated and it's not as cared for. And also he was, you know, the pioneer to bring in plant botanicals into the industry and just even thought about in the first place. He's originally from Germany and he came over here to the Mayo Clinic and he ended up staying in Minnesota. So that's why it ended up in Minneapolis specifically. I didn't go to the original school because they had to expand to a bigger space, but I did get to go to the school, like I said, when Horace was still very much a part of it. And I did get to meet him a couple of times because he was, fortunately for me, at the school 2 times when I was in school, which was only for about 10 months. And so that took me to a salon that was also an Aveda salon, but at the time, and I believe still, it might have expanded from now, I'm sure it has, you had to specialize, which I was kind of on the fence. I knew I really wanted to do color. It was just one of those things where I wanted to expand my horizons of all of the angles of what I could potentially do, because at this point I just had the foundation of how to do things, the basics basically, not just the building blocks to where you want to go. And where I come from, it's not as known for in California, or people don't really do it as much, I should say, because people work for themselves a lot of the time. So it's not as known to go and work for someone else as an assistant. I'm not saying that people don't do it. I'm just saying where I come from, everyone does it. It's not really a question. And if you go to work for someone else, they actually require it, which, you know, in other countries they do as well. It's a different type of curriculum. They actually require more years in a lot of cases. I looked into traveling and doing school in another country at one point. I think I looked into England, and I think you need about a full year, and then you do have to assist for a year after that. They require it, which in hindsight, you know, given my experience, I understand why, and I would suggest to any stylist coming out of school to do so. The first salon that I went to, I didn't assist actually. It was one where we did everything, including manicures and pedicures, the entire cosmetology license, if you will, including facial waxing and body waxing, which, you know, is a craft that some people go into and they love it and enjoy it. I just personally wanted to specialize more. And so I followed with doing more of the Aveda way, and I specialized in color. So I went to a salon that wasn't an Aveda line, but it was another color line that I was able to learn and experience with, which, if you know, if you are a stylist or anybody experiencing anything, if you know different ways of different companies of how they work, then you understand and you have more experience overall. So for me, it just meant, oh, I get to learn a new way. And I worked for a color specialist for about, I think a total of about 3 years before I was really getting on my own. I was still a half assisting, in other words, for like the, you know, year and a half before I was fully on the floor by myself and fully relying on my own clientele. And I don't regret any of it because I learned a lot in color, which in my opinion, you need more experience within that. That is where you're really learning that there's sometimes things you can't fill in the blanks. However, if you have the experience, at least you know, well, it could have been this, we could try this. But when you're starting, for example, your first color correction, you think you know what you're doing, but it seems that everything that you know gets kind of thrown out because you're starting over and this palette is, you don't know what's gonna happen there. So that's where it becomes one of those things where you kind of have to check yourself and you reel yourself in and you're saying, hey, I am new to this. Maybe I should go assist, or maybe I should ask somebody around me to help me. This is where you actually do rely on other stylists. It's just difficult if you're not in a position where you're assisting. And like I said, if you had this experience, you would be with a mentor. However, if you're on your own, it's really scary, and it might even scare you out of the industry altogether. However, every time, like I said, you do it, it doesn't become any more fun. Nobody ever likes a 7-hour color correction with the unknown. However, if you go into it with the knowledge and the experience, of course it becomes less stressful and your whole entire life becomes as such as you go along. It's just the experience helps, I think, a little bit more when you have it in color. And so that's where I really suggest writing things down, remembering the little tips and tricks, and really going to work with somebody that you value their knowledge, because that's going to set you up for your entire career, really. Then I moved on in about 2010 to a salon that was also local in Uptown Minneapolis, where I was able to work for another mentor that was very well-traveled in our industry and became a creative director, I should say, and is now still a creative director for another company. And so that was a different experience for me, and I got to learn from really different, eclectic people in our industry just from educating within that company, because the people that were within the company were from all over the states and sometimes the world. And so internationally, people would come in and that worked for the company all over. And that was when I worked for Lanza. And I still educated for Lanza, and fast forward to 2014, same things were happening for me. I was having a lot of shifts. And this is where I'm going to pause for a moment, and I'm going to tell the side story of the story of what really shifted me to move to California. Because at this point, I'd been visiting this place, specifically in North County, where I am now in Encinitas. I'd been visiting for, I think, about 4 years at this point, maybe 3. And it was just calling to me. And so I'd gone through a breakup. It was just, let's just do something different. And it just felt different this round. And the salon I was at was actually not feeding me. Of course it was feeding me with the education side of it. And I was still getting all these creative people around me that were still, if I look back, still when I look at them now, they're of course brilliant, and they still are, and they're still doing brilliant things. However, there was a space there where I felt like I was almost being kind of told what I should be doing, and I wanted to do it my way, and I didn't want anyone to tell me that it wasn't right or whatever, what have you. And I think that that's important. That's why I wanted to pause, because there were some doubts from others, and there always are when you're making a big shift, right? And as of right now, we're actually going into a big shift within our collective. And so my point of this is that when you know the shift is there, you have to make it. It's no one else's choice. No one else might understand it. It doesn't matter. If you know that that's the right thing, it's your own intuition, and you should just go with it, especially if it makes sense for your soul. And my soul was pulling me here. I talked to a life coach. It had been kind of in the works for about 3 years prior to me actually moving. And so my soul had already done the work. And after I got out here, I met my soul family, speaking of soul. And so that's what I'm trying to say, is that if you know when you're being pulled, don't let anyone ever tell you. You're the only one that can actually live your life. I mean, once you move, who else is living it? You are. And so sometimes it might be a bit of jealousy. Sometimes it might be a bit of not understanding. That doesn't matter. At any rate, if you understand, if it makes sense to you, it's your life. You're living it. And then when you move, you're living it still. So those people might look at you and say, hey, it doesn't make sense. Well, you might be not in their same path anymore, and that's okay. That's how life is. If you're feeling a pull and the energy's not right, you know, move it, shift it. And now I've just, you know, worked with only women. I'm not saying it's not okay to work with men or whatever. I had like whatever experience. I'm just saying, in a sense of, if the energy becomes too rigid, or if you're not feeling like you're being heard and you're not in flow with the artist that's truly trying to create through you, then fuck it. Nobody else understands it but you. And that's where you make the shift. So moving on. So I feel like I kind of outgrew Minneapolis for me, not in a sense of it's not good enough for me, but just in a sense that I needed more spiritual expansion. And it's not really there. Not for me anyway. So I started doing yoga about 4 years prior to moving out to California. And it was my only real connection. I didn't really have a group that I could meditate or do any of the things that I do kind of on a regular basis, or at least talk about them with all of my community here. Now where I'm at, you know, in 2024. And so point being, my soul, again, my soul is being called. You have to remember that when your soul is telling you something, when your intuition, when source, God, whatever you want to say, the powers that be, it's not something you can explain to anybody. And sometimes things don't even show themselves, even the things that aren't working, they don't show themselves till that shift happens. And so once the shift happens, then you see, and then you're like, oh, okay. Now I know why that didn't feel good. Now I know that was actually being exposed to me all of a sudden. And that's where it's giving you that kind of opportunity to be in a place of alignment again. Because that's the whole deal, is finding, chasing that kind of what feels in alignment for us, right? Like, it's going to shift. We're humans. We're shifting all the time. We're expanding. Well, hopefully, in whatever way we need to. And so when I moved out to California, it was about 2014, and I worked in a whole different way than I had in Minnesota. Even though I was working, you know, the same amount, just as hard, it was just a different kind of way of working, which I was okay with. I was okay with doing, you know, blow dries here and there. It was very casual, but the money was there, and it felt different. It felt like a more slower pace of life. And I should say relaxed. It wasn't slow. It was just more relaxed. We worked just as hard. Like I said, it was just the way that it flowed was different. And what people wanted was different. It was a really different, I mean, it was a new experience. I don't do blow dries the same way at all like I did in Minnesota. And people don't even want the same colors as they do when you go from different regions of the U.S. That's the other thing I learned. And I wouldn't have known that even in itself, that little bit of knowledge. You know, you talk to people, but you don't really fully know that till you experience it again. So from there, I worked at a local, you know, Omni, which was really cool because I got to meet people that were going to the Chopra Center. Deepak Chopra is one of my spiritual teachers, I would say, in a sense that I found him like third of all the people that I've kind of looked up to as far as being mentors. I would get to work on a lot of people in my chair that were doing speeches for him or part of any type of course he was doing. We would get a lot of those people in the salon. So that was a really cool experience. And I met a lot of amazing people that I still talk to along the way. And so then I actually moved from there and I did hair out of my house. I had a little studio built by my now husband, and it was amazing because I was able to work there, but then also I was working at a spa that was more of a spiritual spa called Four Moons, which has now really grown, and it was kind of like a little bit of Bali, if you will. And I met a lot of the people that I now consider my spiritual circle. And that was the beautiful thing about it is, again, you just follow these intuitive moments, and maybe they don't make sense, but when you do them, they make sense in the bigger picture of it all. And like I said, I still talk to all of them. A lot of them are my clients, and it's a beautiful connection within that. And then I moved from there and I worked at another spa where I became a hairstylist there as well, which was Aveda, kind of going back to the roots for another woman. And it was also a beautiful feminine energy. Like I had said before, there's nothing wrong with working for men. I just needed a shift. I'd work for only men. I was just kind of sick of all of this masculine way of looking at things. And working for women is more emotional, I'm not gonna lie. It's just, there's more sensitivity and there's more flow in a different way that I can't explain. You get more flow to be human, and you get more flow to show up in a different way, at least from my own experience. I'm not saying that everybody has the same experience. Again, it just, it resonates. For me, it was just, let's shift. And now, of course, I work for myself. I actually rent from a man and a woman, technically. So I guess the energy is balanced there. It's just one of those things where, again, you're working with the energy that you are working with. So what works for you in this moment? We're all different. We're going through different phases. We might not even go through the same things. At the end of the day, just do what feels good for you. It's like we all have to work every day. And so for me, going into that, I would always follow my truth. And so from there, I am now working, like I said, for a salon. I worked for one other salon in between that was just a little bit short-lived. That was kind of actually in between locations where I just rented. I guess I should say two, where I just rented solely. And I was liking that. I was finding if I'm going to work with other people, I kind of wanted to have more of a team aspect. And I feel more like that with where the salon that I'm at now was going. And so I just think it's important to, again, understand, check in with yourself with where you're at your each angle of your career, because that's where you're going to understand, oh, I've actually grown. This has made sense to me. Now it doesn't make sense, or it does make sense, or whatever. Just check in with yourself and see if things actually are feeling good. Yeah, it took me some brain power to remember where I'd been, even through the years that I've been in pushing 20 years in the career path of a hairstylist. But I've worn many hats, needless to say, and that's why I love to share my journey. And that was just a tiny blurb of, you know, my past, and there's a lot of side stories within that, so just a little bit of it. And then I guess what I would say is there's a million ways that you can approach hair. There's a million ways you can approach anything. I look at a pianist. When a pianist walks up to a piano, they all sit down and start playing differently. It's the best way to say it. We all hold our shears differently. We all have different size hands. We all have different ways of, you know, giving a good head massage or a scalp massage and a neck massage, and a different way of approaching the highlights, a different way of approaching a men's cut, a different way of the touch, which is a big piece of what we do. We're actually physically touching people, which, you know, it's like if you go get a massage, you know what feels right. It's the same thing in a sense. It could be one of those things where all of a sudden you're finding like, oh, I kind of want to make a shift, and that's okay too. It's okay to shift. And it's okay to work with new energy sometimes and just see how that feels. And so we get into this idea in our head that, you know, whatever industry we're in is super competitive, and, you know, it is, which, you know, that's just finding that area of tapping into your authentic approach. Be you, and your clients will find you and love on you. It's not about the quantity necessarily, but the quality of your experience and the collaboration, as I like to call it, of the appointment. I feel strongly that a right fit is a right fit. This isn't always going to be the case, like I said. I've had a lot of lessons here of setting boundaries and reaching for what I would like to attract rather than try and people-pleased. Well, it's spending far too much energy, and it's unnecessary on an unfit client, let's say. I've learned that you aren't going to be for everyone. It's not personal, or maybe it is. And that's it. We will attract the right ones. There are plenty of people who are waiting to find you, regardless of what you do. You don't have to be doing hair, let's say. My attention started to shift after I discovered and connected to this feeling of, oh, I can just shift that, and this is what works for me now. I think it's important when you need to shift and shed and move through these things, get through it in a way that you need to. And again, I just wanted to pause and bring that back into light, because it doesn't matter what you're doing. Let's lean into the shift, because it's going to be there regardless. If we don't do it in that moment, it's going to keep irking us. And so I would like to talk a little bit now about some of the things that help me when I go into work, and some of the energy work and spirit work, if you will, that I've brought into my entire practice of doing hair. So one of my good friend Claudia, she told me to use dragon energy. So what I do is I call in my dragons and I send them out, and they go to my workspace, and I close my eyes and I picture them clearing it. And what they do is they clear it in a circle, and they kind of move it around and clear out anything that's been there, because as we know, there's a lot of stuff that moves, especially in a space where people are jabbing all day. It's just kind of a can be a cesspool of really negative toxicity if we let it. So it's good to shift it out, and you can use this wherever you're going. If you get stressed out to go to the grocery store, call your dragons and send them out. And remember that you shouldn't be doing anything other than you want to do. So it's like if something's feeling off, then shift it. It's important. So yeah, so then, like I said, I send out the dragons, I do prayers, I do things that, you know, anything that will, whatever you like to do to protect yourself. I make sure that I go into work with a positive attitude. I make sure I stay hydrated as much as I can. I'm not saying I'm perfect at this all the time. I'm just saying the things I try to do and that have worked when I do keep consistent on them. It's important to keep my conversations light with my clients. If they need to vent, I let them just vent. I don't necessarily jump in on the vent pile, if you will. I think it's important if we're relating and we're having a good, fun, kind of light conversation about it. However, if it feels a little intense and heavy, you'll know it. You can kind of feel it in your whole body. And I think it's important to be mindful of others and conversations regardless of where we are. And since it is a sacred space, I think it's important as a person in a salon or anywhere you're working to be mindful of conversation. So I try to keep mine light, and I try to drop my own shit at the door because it's about the client. Some days I do like to light something like sage, or, you know, sometimes I'm going to actually start doing more of a copal lighting when I go in. It's really good to be consistent for your clients or just for anybody in your life, because consistency makes people feel peaceful and calm. Keeping my frequency relaxed, because I'm about to go touch this person, so I don't want myself to feel all jittery and blah, because they can feel that regardless of whether I say it. I always like to make sure that they feel very relaxed, they being my client at the bowl. So whatever they came in with, if it was anything, they can release it and just really fully wash all of that shit down the drain, which is what I do. I do a bit of Reiki and energy work where I imagine all the stuff going down the drain. I enjoy the conversation of being one-on-one. I think that's the beautiful thing about what I do, or one of the many beautiful things. There's such a responsibility for me because I am working with people's self-image. I'm a firm believer that you walk in knowing what you want and having an idea in your mind. So my idea is to, or my job is to curate that and to work that in my own artistic way as best as possible with maintaining the health and consistency. These are just the little things that I've learned over the years that are just very important for me and vital to continue a long-term client and to maintain that. And what really kind of drives people away is boredom. And so for me, I kind of let the client guide me to when they're wanting a shift. A lot of them, you know, they will tend to stay kind of where they're at, which I understand. I do the same things. But then when you have a shift, it's my job to know that that's the time. And so there is a lot of psychology in there, like I had said from the beginning, what I had really wanted to do in the first place. So it's interesting when it comes back full circle, like I was saying. It definitely can change your life when you're looking at it from a self-image perspective. I know it's changed mine. So, for example, you give somebody a haircut, it can change their entire life. It can change their day for sure. You leave feeling better. At the end of it all, I love where my career has taken me. And I've gotten to a place where I live my life the way that I feel connected to the creator. I don't listen to the should-be's of others. I don't allow others to tell me how I should feel. I allow space for people to be human, myself included. And I approach each moment that way. I mean, it's just, that's it. You approach each moment, moment to moment. Whatever will be, and I will ride the waves as they come. I will become disattached and enjoy the present as is, because that's life, a series of presences. So I just want to leave you with whatever your career path is, if it's not hair, if it's something creative or not, doesn't matter. It's very important to find joy and really take the experience of where you've been and what does that look like? Because wherever you've been, it's something. And it's important to take those little positive gems, even if you don't love it, let's say, and move forward. Maybe those little positive gems could be a new thing for you. It's important to know when the shifts happen and to move with them and to not be fearful, because as they say, when one door closes. So until we meet again, have a blessed day.